We turn now to God's Word as found in the book of Ruth, the second chapter, reading at the fourth verse. If you're following along in your pew Bible, I'm actually reading out of Eugene Peterson's The Message translation this morning, so there'll be a few differences, but I think you'll find a similar story. Listen for God's Word. And so Ruth set out. She went and started gleaning in a field, following in the wake of the harvesters. Eventually, she ended up in the part of the field owned by Boaz, her father-in-law Elimelech's relative. A little later, Boaz came out from Bethlehem, greeting his harvesters. "God be with you," they replied, "and God bless you." Boaz asked his young servant, who was foreman over the farmhands, "Who is this young woman? Where did she come from?" The foreman said, "Why, that's the Moabite girl, the one who came with Naomi from the country of Moab. She asked permission. 'Let me glean,' she said, 'and gather among the sheaves following after your harvesters.' She's been at it steady ever since, from early morning until now, without so much as a break." Then Boaz spoke to Ruth, "Listen, my daughter, from now on, don't go to any other field to glean. Stay right here in this one and stay close to my young women. Watch where they are harvesting and follow them. And don't worry about a thing. I've given orders to my servants not to harass you. When you get thirsty, feel free to go and drink from the water buckets that the servants have filled." She dropped to her knees, then bowed her face to the ground. "How does this happen that you should pick me out and treat me so kindly, me, a foreigner?" Boaz answered her, "I've heard all about you, heard about the way you treated your mother-in-law after the death of her husband, and how you left your father and mother in the land of your birth and have come to live among a bunch of total strangers. God reward you well for what you've done, and with a generous bonus besides from God, to whom you've come seeking protection under his wings." She said, "Oh, sir, such grace, such kindness, I don't deserve it. You've touched my heart, treated me like one of your own, and I don't even belong here." The word of the Lord. Ruth and Nicodemus are both good and faithful people. We remember Ruth as the Moabite daughter-in-law of Naomi, the daughter-in-law who chose to leave her homeland after the death of her husband to follow her mother-in-law back to Bethlehem. A stranger forever in a new land. She's worried about how she will make it, how she will support herself and her mother-in-law. She has no husband, no property, no status. She's a good person. She has acted faithfully to support her mother-in-law, but now she needs something more. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a leader among the Israelites, he addresses Jesus as rabbi, which suggests that he is not at odds with Jesus, but recognizes something special about Jesus. He hears about what he is doing. Maybe he's seen Jesus in action and now thirsts for more in his life and in his relationship with God. He seeks Jesus out as part of his quest to grow in his faith. And at this juncture in both their lives, they discover God in new ways. Maybe not as dramatic as Saul, who, as we remember, was blinded on the road to Damascus and changes his name and totally transforms his life. Maybe not quite like that, but for both, a growth in faithfulness, that next step in traveling the path of who God calls them to be. Ruth reaches out and finds God's grace in the fields where she is following the harvesters to glean the scraps from what they miss. Boaz, a relative of her dead husband, notices her and inquires about her. When he discovers her situation, he invites her to stay in his fields. He will care for her. As Peterson translates it in the Message, Ruth says to Boaz, "Oh, sir, such grace, such kindness, I don't deserve it. You've touched my heart, treated me like one of your own, and I don't even belong here." In Boaz, Ruth discovers God's saving grace, the God who touches us, who touches we who do not deserve it, and claims us as one of God's own. Nicodemus is looking for that next step, and he learns he must be born again. He already knows Jesus as rabbi, but now he is going to that new place. An invitation to new life is there for the taking. He turns to Jesus to see how to make that next step in his path of discipleship. The final sermon illustration of this preaching series on being touched by God will take place after the sermon. You will be a part of that final illustration because you will be invited to come forward to renew your baptismal vows, or if you have not been baptized, to rehearse the vows you might take one day, and also invited to come and be anointed. It is an invitation. It is not a demand. You can touch the baptismal waters or be anointed, whichever moves you, or do both. Most of us will come as people of faith, people who have made commitments, but maybe today you are looking for a new level of commitment. God has been working on you, and this is part of that process of showing you where to go. Now is the time to take the step. Maybe you'll be surprised. You're coming forward because everyone else in the pew did, and you don't want to sit there by yourself, so you come. And then God might seize you, might touch your heart. You're invited to come, but beware, God is alive and in our midst. Come forward and touch the baptismal water. The first time I ever invited people to come forward and touch baptismal waters was during a special Lenten service years ago. The draw of renewing baptismal vows by coming back to church on a Wednesday night seemed to have little appeal. Only about 25 people or so showed up. I invited people to come forward as they felt moved, and there was silence. There was no pattern, but people did move forward. Everyone gave lots of space. You didn't want to get too close to someone else. You may know that feeling as well. And then a couple came forward together. The wife had been battling stage 4 ovarian cancer for several years. In fact, she only had a few more months to live, but there she was, coming down the aisle with her husband. They approached the baptismal font with its lid off and water there to touch. And he took her hands and dipped them into the water and washed them over. And she did the same for her. A touch that draws you back to your baptism, back to when you were united with Christ in both his death and his resurrection. Back to when you were cleansed by the waters of baptism. Back to when God embraced you and claimed you as a child of the covenant. Touch the water and be reminded of God's claim on you and God's love for you. Come and be anointed. touched with the sign of the cross in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, anointed in the name of the God who created you, anointed in the name of Jesus Christ who invites you into a personal relationship, anointed in the name of the Holy Spirit who is still at work in your life, calling you to be a new creation. Feel the touch that connects you to the people of God who have been anointed as far back as they have been in covenant with God. A touch that connects you to the God who calls you to new life. Each time a person is baptized here at St. Andrew, the ministers ask, who stands with this child or this confirmand or this person? And you know what you do. You stand, rising to your feet and unvoiced, I stand with you. As you come to the waters of baptism and to be anointed today, you are asking, who stands with me? And the answer is a resounding cry from God, I stand with you. Amen.